Please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Have you ever been somewhere and quickly realized that this is a place where you don't belong? You are not welcome here. A friend of mine tells a story. He had been on a long-haul airplane flight, and on this flight, he had consumed a little too much coffee. And as he landed, he made a beeline for the nearest restroom. And he ran into a stall, closed the door, and as he's there, he looks down in the ashtray and sees a thing of lipstick. And he's like, "This is odd. Why is there a thing of lipstick here?" About 30 seconds later, he sees a pair of heels going by under the stall door. Now he's panicking. He's quickly realized that this is not a place where he belongs. So he waits until he doesn't hear anything and makes a beeline, not looking anybody in the eye, straight out and around the corner into where he does belong. But I think we've all, you know, we may not have had something quite as the same as that. We've all had experiences where we're in a place and we realize, we feel like we don't belong. Maybe it's showing up at a party not dressed appropriately. You're in a room where everybody is speaking a foreign language or speaking about things you know nothing about. Or maybe it's those little side glances or little side comments that quickly make you feel like this is not a place where you're welcome. This is not a place where you belong. And sometimes it might not even be that people are unfriendly or they don't think you belong. You just feel like they do not understand you. Have you had the experience where you've had somebody talking to you? It's very friendly and helpful, and they're asking about you, but you feel like as you're talking to this person, you do not understand me. You do not know who I am. You do not know what I've been through, even though you're being friendly to me. I think this is especially true of those who have suffered deep pain, who have suffered experiences which it's just impossible for somebody else to really, truly understand. You can be talking to someone, but you feel like, you don't understand me. I do not feel like I belong here. Especially those who have experienced maybe wartime deployment, gone through brutal divorces and miscarriages, years of depression, or those who have suffered sexual or physical abuse. Maybe you've even felt this way with God. You feel separated and alienated from Him. You're here in His house, but yet you feel like you don't belong. You feel like maybe God does not care about you or God does not understand you. In our text today from the book of Acts and Isaiah, we have the story of a man separated from God and his people, a man who felt like he did not belong, but who hears the message of Jesus Christ and realizes that he is understood, and in Christ he does belong. The Ethiopian in Acts, starting in Acts 27, might not seem like someone who is in need of understanding and reconciliation. After all, he's a powerful man. We read that he was a high-ranking official in the court of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. And not only that, he was rich. He was in charge of the royal treasury, think head of the Federal Reserve or something like that. And as Philip comes to him, he's sitting in a chariot, the ancient equivalent of a private jet. This man's also religious. He's returning from a religious pilgrimage to Jerusalem, where he had come to worship. However, we get the sense from this story that he did not necessarily find what he was looking for. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship, but there were two things about him that would have convinced him that he did not belong, that he was separated from God and from God's people. First, he was a foreigner, and two, he was a eunuch. You see, foreigners were allowed to come to the temple. Gentile foreigners were allowed to come to the temple. However, they were excluded from the main part of the temple. They were limited to what's called the court of the Gentiles. And there was a literal stone wall in this court that separated the Gentiles from everybody else. And any foreigner who crossed this barrier could be immediately put to death on the spot. So here is this powerful official from a foreign land who's come to worship the one true God, and here is a visible wall separating him, making it clear, you do not belong. But it's not just the fact that he was a foreigner which separates him, it's also the fact that he is a eunuch. A eunuch is a man who has been made unable to have children. And frequently this was done forcibly against the will to young slave boys. One can only imagine how traumatic an experience this must have been for them. Now, why in the world would somebody want to do this? Well, in wartime, it was a way of showing your complete victory over your enemies. But also, eunuchs were very valuable as servants because they were considered they could be safe around the women of the royal court. They would frequently be put in charge of the women's section of a kingdom. But it's not also just things like that. The more important reason is that eunuchs could not have children. And this was a great asset to a ruler. Because eunuchs were prized as royal officials because they would have no children of their own who they could then be scheming to hand power over to. They could not try to overthrow the current regime and establish a name and a dynasty for themselves. And because of this, many eunuchs rose up through the ranks and became very powerful royal officials, like the eunuch in our story. They became powerful and they were allowed to have this power because it was known this power would die with them. They would have no name after they died, so they could be entrusted with this power. Israelites were forbidden to engage in the practice of making eunuchs. Just as Israelites were forbidden from bringing as a sacrifice a castrated bull as an offering, eunuchs as well. Men in this situation were not allowed to enter the temple. Deuteronomy 23:1 says, "No one whose testicles are crushed or whose male organ is cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord." So here we have this royal official, this powerful man who is doubly barred from feeling close to God or God's people. He was a foreigner and he was a eunuch. Even though he appeared to have everything a man could want, this powerful man sitting in his Learjet had no hope for a future. He had most likely been the victim of violent sexual abuse. And now he desired to come worship the one true God. But when he came to the temple, he was blocked by a stone wall. He was kept at arm's length. I think it's important for us to remember that this eunuch represents the situation all of us are in at birth. We all were at one time separated from God because we were foreigners marred by sin. Paul says in Ephesians 12 that it's important for us to remember this. Ephesians 2:12. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul says, remember, we were at one time separated from Christ with no hope of a future. But as the Bible tells us, as Paul goes on to tell us in Ephesians, we did not remain separated from Christ. We've been brought near. We've been brought near by God's suffering servant, brought near by Jesus Christ. That brings us to the next point there, brought near to God by the suffering servant. Philip comes to the Ethiopian eunuch while he's sitting in his chariot, reading aloud from the book of Isaiah as he's on his way back from visiting Jerusalem. And even though, this is really amazing, even though he had would not have been allowed to go into the inner parts of the temple, he's still searching God's word. He's looking to God for hope. And he's sitting there reading aloud. Philip comes to him, led by the Spirit, and asks him, Acts 8:30, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The passage he is reading is found in Isaiah 53, which is just a couple chapters before the passage we read earlier. It is one of the so-called suffering servant texts, which describes a man who unjustly suffers deep humiliation and pain. And the eunuch asks Philip, verse 34, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" The eunuch has been reading Isaiah, and he wants to know, who is this suffering servant? I admit this is a bit of speculation on my part, but I think, given the context of what's going on in the book of Isaiah, who the Ethiopian eunuch is clearly seen as a fulfillment, what's going on there, I think we see that the eunuch wants to know who this suffering figure is because he identifies with him. Here is someone who has experienced the deep feelings of alienation and separation that this eunuch has experienced. He sees a suffering servant, and he sees someone who understands. Here is someone who has suffered deep physical and emotional pain, just like the eunuch has. Here is someone who had his future forcibly taken away from him, just as the eunuch had his future forcibly taken away. The eunuch is drawn to the suffering servant because here is someone who understands. And he wants to know, who is it? Who is this one who understands me? Who is this man? Verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus." I hope that sends chills down your spine. Here is this man who's been alienated from God's people, been kept at arm's length. And he's told, sitting in this chariot, reading from Isaiah, the good news about Jesus. The one who understands the suffering of the foreign eunuch is Jesus. Jesus suffered. He was unjustly rejected by his own people. The Son of God suffered humiliation at the hands of his creation. He cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And he did it to bear the sins of his people. He suffered rejection that he might reunite us to God. I think it's significant that the text says that Philip began to explain the good news about Jesus from this passage. I'm confident that he would have gone on to read with the eunuch chapter 56 of Isaiah, or at the very least, we're intended to see the Ethiopian eunuch as a fulfillment of Isaiah 56. Because what Isaiah teaches is that the servant dies for his disciples. Isaiah teaches that those who become disciples of the suffering servant will experience real hope beyond imagination. And the disciples of the servant will include foreigners. And not only that, the disciples of the servant includes eunuchs. In other words, the Ethiopian eunuch can become a disciple of the servant. He can become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Isaiah 56. In verse 3, God says, "Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.'" In the kingdom of the suffering servant, foreigners are not second-class citizens. In fact, it goes on to speak about foreigners serving in the role of priests. Verse 6. "And foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain." That's to the temple. "And make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples." The Lord God, who gathers the outcast of Israel, declares, "I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered." In this picture of the kingdom the suffering servant brings, the sacrifices and prayers of foreigners are not kept at arm's length. They are acceptable to God because of the sacrifice of the suffering servant. God says that he will gather those besides those already gathered, those outside of the nation of Israel. And these words Jesus takes on his lips in John 10:16 when he says, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd." The suffering servant calls foreigners, those once separated, to become his disciples. The suffering servant calls you to become his disciple. But Jesus also came to call eunuchs to be his disciples as well. Going back up to verse 3 of Isaiah 56. "And let not the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord, 'To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give him in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off.'" As we mentioned earlier, part of the great burden of being a eunuch is that you were forcibly denied a future. And because of the violence perpetrated against you, you were kept out of the temple. The fact that you had been damaged by others excluded you from being fully present in the worship of God's people. But here God says, "Let not the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.'" This is a euphemism for being unable to have children. Eunuchs in their distress would be tempted to say, "I'm damaged goods. My name will die with me. I have no future." But God says, "Don't say that. Don't say I am a dry tree, because I have something better for you." This is the word that God speaks to all of us who feel damaged, who feel hurt, who feel that we have been separated, who feels that whatever has been done to us has caused us to be unwelcome in God's presence. God says, "Don't say that." To the eunuchs who hold fast to God's covenant promises, who become followers of the suffering servant, who become followers of Jesus Christ, God says, "I will give in my house and within my walls a monument, a name better than sons or daughters." This is stunning language here. Not only will God give them a name better and more enduring than the name that would come with generations of children, he will place a monument to them within the temple itself, the very place where they were not allowed to enter because of what had been done to them. There is a monument to them, a name that will last forever. Using another euphemism, God says that unlike their hope for an earthly name, God will give eunuchs an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. This is what the suffering servant offers you. He offers us an eternal name that cannot be removed. Jesus offers us his own name. Jesus' name is a name that cannot be taken away. The name of Christian cannot be cut off. This is what is symbolized in baptism partially. God places his name on you. It is a symbol of God cleansing you and giving you a new everlasting hope, a new everlasting name. It's no wonder that after Philip finishes speaking, that the Ethiopian eunuch desires to be baptized. He recognizes that the promises are for him, and he desired to have a name which cannot be cut off. He desired to become a disciple of this one who understood him, of this suffering servant. Acts 8:36-38. And as they were going down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" The eunuch gets it. At the temple, he saw what prevented him from coming into God's presence. There was a wall there, which he could not pass on pain of death. But here he's heard the good news of Jesus Christ said to him. He's heard about the promises, and he says, "What prevents me from being baptized?" Knowing that nothing can prevent him, because Jesus Christ had died for him. The eunuch gets it. In Christ, he can have a new and everlasting name which cannot be taken away. And he commands the chariot to stop, and they both get down and go into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and Philip baptizes this one who had been separated from God because he was a foreigner and because he was a eunuch. And let's not forget, the same hope which applies to this foreign eunuch is for you as well. I do not understand all that many of you have been through. I do not understand always. But I know someone who does. When you are ministering to those who have pain around you, you will not always understand, but you can introduce them to the one who does. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. No matter how estranged you feel from God and from his people, no matter how damaged you feel, no matter how hopeless you feel, God's suffering servant, Jesus Christ, understands. He did not just understand, he died to give you healing and hope. This is part of the message we bring to the world around us. We bring a message of hope and healing to those abused and battered by the world. We bring a message of reconciliation and future to those who have been cut off and alienated from God and from the world by their own sin and by the sin of others. Like the eunuch, if you are searching for God, but don't have Jesus Christ, you're bound to come away feeling separated and held at arm's length. But in Jesus, there is eternal hope. In Jesus, we see that God is not distant. God came near. Our Savior understands your suffering because he suffered for you. And what more can we say? What can keep us from coming and claiming that name, from being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ? So my hope and prayer is that we will here at Emmanuel be a house of healing to those who have been hurt by others, who have been hurt by their own sin. Let us, as it says in Isaiah, be a house of prayer for all nations, a house of prayer for people of all backgrounds. Let us be a house of prayer where the waters of baptism cleanse and give a new name to those who had no name and no future, a name which is eternal. Let's praise our God for the hope he gives each of us. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story of the Ethiopian eunuch. We thank you for the promises in Isaiah that there is a future for us, an eternal future, a name which cannot be cut off in Jesus Christ, because you were cut off, because you died for us. So I pray for everyone here, for people who may feel damaged, who may feel hurt, who may feel that they have been rejected and hurt by the world around them, maybe by even those who are close to them. Lord, let them come near to your suffering servant. May they see in your suffering. May they see in your death someone who understands. Not just understands, but someone who died and suffered for them. I pray that they would desire, like the Ethiopian eunuch, to come to you in baptism, knowing that there is nothing that hinders. And I pray that we will be people who point people, a house of prayer, which brings people to the suffering servant. We pray these things in the name of the suffering servant, Jesus Christ. Amen.